You know, God is good not just sometime, all the time. You know, one of the things he's just asking for is some cooperation. You know, were you ever with someone and trying to do a job or something, you know, and it's like, man, can you just cooperate? You want to tell them, shut up, man, and just listen for a minute. Just give me your ears and hear. This is what I'm asking you to do. You know, especially when people own businesses and so forth, you know, you're trying to get everybody like-minded with you. And it becomes difficult. And the reason is because everybody has their specific own agenda or opinion. And I'm going to share something with you, and don't be offended. God's not interested in your opinion. Hello? He's only interested in what he's already spoke. He's only interested in relationship with his son and daughter, which is him and you, me and you. Amen? He doesn't have relationship with yourself. He has relationship with his child in you. And there's something specific. It's called divine fellowship. And it's one of the things that the Spirit was impressing on me this morning. He's saying divine fellowship. He says, so many of my children go astray and then they lose divine fellowship. They're too busy, interested. You know, there's nothing wrong with a desire to serve God, but when you put that between God and you, there's things that you begin to lose. And the first thing you begin to lose is your inheritance. Turn to Psalm 128. Psalm 128. Very important. It says blessed. What's the opposite of blessed? Very good. Blessed is who? Everyone. Hello, everyone. Not just man or woman. Everyone. Blessed is everyone who what? Fears the Lord. Now, we got to define fear. Fear is reverence, honor, and respect. Reverence, honor, and respect. It doesn't mean that you fear God because he's going to kill you. Does everybody understand that? You know, many people feared mothers or fathers because they were a little out there. There's a difference between chastening, correcting, spanking, and then there's a difference between that and abuse. You know, and there are many of us who've been abused as a child. But that isn't correction, isn't it? That's abuse. But it says, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord. Reverence, honor, and respect is known as the fear of the Lord. And he says, and who walks in his ways. Now look at what happens. He says, when you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be what? Happy. And it shall be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine. In the very heart of your house, your children like olive plants all around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who what? Who fears the Lord. Now understand, it's got nothing to do with gender. The word fear is associated with reverence, honor, and respect. And blesses everyone who fears the Lord. Everyone. Now, one of the things that the only way that you're going to be able to maintain the fear of the Lord is to have divine fellowship, divine revelation, divine relationship. Has everybody got this? In other words, the closer you are to God, the more you know him, the more you reverence him. And one of the things the enemy tries to do is drift you away. Go to Psalm 19 and verse 9. Let's speak it together. The fear of the Lord is what? It's what? Clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true in righteousness altogether. More to be desired are they than what? Gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them, there is great reward. Now listen, this is excellent because he's saying, listen, you can't be my servant unless you're my son and daughter first. You cannot be my servant unless you're my son and daughter first. So that means a relationship must be established. It's called divine fellowship. It must be established. And the only way that you can have a fear of the Lord and reverence, honor, and respect is the area where you are in divine fellowship with him. In fact, the word talks about abiding. Amen? He says, if you abide in me, I will abide in you. And the three areas that we abide is in the presence of God, in the word and prayer, and in the body of Christ. In that area, those three areas of abiding are also known as divine fellowship, isn't it? Amen? So he says, look it, because what's going to happen is the enemy, the more, when you begin to drift from me, what's going to happen is the fear of the Lord is going to drift. You will begin to lose the reverence, honor, and respect. And when that begins to drift, he says, one of the things that's going to cause you to drift that is the area that pride is going to step in, and you're going to be more concerned about making money than having a relationship. Has everybody got this? You're going to be more interested in making money than having a relationship. Because he said, yea, it's more to be desired are they than what? Gold. Fine gold. So this is where we must be careful, because in the true divine fellowship, there is provision. In other words, he makes a way where it seems to be no way. He begins to remove debts supernaturally. Things begin to happen. It's when we move out of that divine fellowship that we begin to work in our own strength. And then there's a scripture that says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, but cursed is the man who trusts in who? In man. Amen. So one of the things that the enemy is going to first try to do is begin to separate you from your prayer time, from your fellowship, and from the body of Christ and that divine fellowship with his presence, with him, with his word, and with his children. Amen. It says the fear of the Lord is clean. See, this is going to cause a man to endure. When you are maintaining the fear of the Lord, you're going to endure. Because no matter what's coming against you, you know that God is going to provide. He's going to make a way of escape. Something's going to happen. And whatever has been taken or you lost, he knows something's going to come back even better. If there truly is that relationship. Psalm 111. You know, the devil's not stupid. The Bible says that the serpent is the most cunning beast God created. He's going to slip in somehow, some way. He can outwit you in a second if you're not in fellowship. He'll whip you in a second if you're not in fellowship. Next thing you'll be going is, how did I get here? What happened? What happened? I can't believe I did this. I can't believe I'm in this condition. What happened? You lost divine fellowship. The first thing he begins to do is bring compromise. Complacency, justification. See, one of the things in justification is, well, people begin to serve God instead of fellowship with God. And a servant is not above his master. So they put service in front of fellowship. And when that begins to happen, you drift, you lose the fear of the Lord, and you lose the inheritance. Because you're going to break covenant. Psalm 111, verse 10. Let's read it. The fear of the Lord is the what? Beginning of wisdom. Where are you going to get wisdom from? Not going to college. Hello? You're going to get wisdom from the spirit of wisdom. Amen? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his what? Commandments. His praise endures forever. Go on. Praise the Lord. Bless is the what? Man who what? Fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. Go on, verse 2. His descendants will be mighty on the earth. Hello. People wonder why they lose their children. Because they're not maintaining divine fellowship with God. His descendants will be mighty on the earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. He says, look at this. Wealth and riches will be in his house. That means it's coming. And his righteousness endures forever. Unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man deals graciously and lends. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he will never be shaken. The righteous shall be in the everlasting remembrance of who? The Lord. Has everybody got that? So in this, remember, maintaining the fear of the Lord is essential, and it can only be maintained by divine fellowship, or what we call divine relationship. And in divine fellowship, it's abiding in his presence, his word and prayer, and in the body of Christ. Go to Proverbs 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Oh, hallelujah. In verse 5. Proverbs 3, 5. Now, if you're not divine, if you're not abiding in divine fellowship, can you trust God? No. In verse 5, let's speak it together. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from what? Evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Now, you're not going to depart from evil if you're not in fellowship with the Lord. Why? Because you're not maintaining the fear of the Lord then. Amen? Because the fear and reverence to the Lord is going to keep you sensitive to the things that displease him. And the things that are dangerous to you. Because remember, the enemy is just trying to bring contamination to you, isn't he? Amen? He's just trying to bring contamination to you. So the fear of the Lord is to depart from evil. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Let's go a little further. It says what? Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruit of all of your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son. What does he say? My son, not my servant. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father, the son in whom he delights. Does everybody see this? So what does he really require? Fellowship. He is not interested in you serving him until you know him. You don't serve. You know, many people get saved, get touched by the Lord. I want to go out and do all kinds of things for God. And there's nothing wrong with that desire. But first, you got to know him. Because what's going to happen is you're going to end up bringing shame to the name of the Lord. Because you don't know him. In that area where you truly know. Listen, I know people that proclaim to be believers for 20, 30, 40 years, and they still don't know him. Because if they knew him, they wouldn't have put Obama in. If they really knew him, they wouldn't have voted for Obama. Hello. Why? Because a man that promotes abortion, same-sex marriage, he's a man that's unclean, even though he proclaims to be a believer, but he's not. Because a believer believes. In other words, he follows. And I'm not just talking about Obama. I'm talking about anyone else that they put in office that promotes abortion and promotes same-sex marriage. If there's truly a relationship and divine fellowship with the Father, they would know these things. But there really isn't. Because there would be conviction. Why? Because the people that put somebody in office that promotes abortion and same-sex marriage, it says that they believe in it then. In other words, you'll be judged just the way that person is judged because you approve of the practices. Hallelujah. In sonship, in fellowship, as a son and a daughter of God, it is divine fellowship is required, isn't it? If there's not fellowship, there's really no sonship, is there? Go to Proverbs 4 and verse 10. Proverbs 4 and verse 10. What does it say? Hear my what? He didn't say servant, did he? He said, hear my son, hear my daughter, and receive my what? Sayings, and the years of your life will be what? Many. What's he saying? Get in my presence. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be what? Hindered. When you run, you shall not what? Stumble. Take firm hold of what? Instruction, and do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. Go to verse 20. What's it say there? My son, not my servant. Give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead, your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all of your ways be established, and do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. That can only be established if you're maintaining the fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord can only be maintained if you're maintaining a divine fellowship with the Father. Remember. Well, you know, remember when they asked Jesus how to pray? What did he say? Started off in the prayer of our Father. Why? He wasn't looking for servants. Do you understand that? He was looking for sonship. He was looking for daughters. He wants his children more than anything. You know, when even in family businesses and so forth, man, you're not raising your kids up to be servants. You're raising them up to be sons and daughters first. Amen. My son, he says, my son. In other words, take this instruction. Pay attention. Why? Take this vision. Get vision and obedience. Because it cannot be established without the fear of the Lord or divine fellowship. You know, many people have in their spirit things they'd like to do, but they begin to go do the things instead of maintain fellowship. 2 Corinthians 6. Again, without the presence of God, you and I are nothing. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 16. And what agreement has the temple of God with what? Idols. And we know that idols are anything between you and God. In other words, you could be your idol, your children, and so forth. For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them, I will walk among them, I will be their God. Now look it. He says, I'll be your God. And they will be my people. Then he says, therefore, if you come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. And I'll be a what? Father. See, he never mentions servant, does he? He says, Father. And I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Remember, God is not asking you to serve him. He's asking you to have fellowship with him. You know, when Jesus came into the natural realm, he acknowledged the Father, didn't he? The Lord didn't say, this is my servant. He said, this is my son. He was always looking at him as son. He wants to look at you as sons and daughters, not servants. First son and daughter. Because you cannot be a servant until you maintain fellowship. Divine fellowship as a son and daughter. As a father, I'm not looking for servants. I'm looking for my children. We serve one another because we're family. Not because we have to. See, people become put service in front of fellowship because they think now service is going to please God. But service doesn't please God. Fellowship does. Romans 8. Oh, hallelujah. If he, look it, he wants to be a father to you, right? Divine fellowship is divine relationship. As a divine child, amen? Romans 8, You know, a lot of people get caught in the I gotta do syndrome. Romans 8:14. Would you speak it with me? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. Now, can you be led by the Spirit of God without divine fellowship?
No, man.
You'd be led by everything you feel.
Well, this feels...
Listen, people that live by feelings are the most dangerous people to be around. Because God is not the God of feeling, He's the God of truth. And the feelings we look for is peace, joy, and righteousness, and Holy Spirit. Verse 15. He said, for you did not receive the spirit of what? Bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out what? Abba, Father. Relationship. He's dad. The word Abba means daddy. He said, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children of God, then what? Heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ if, everyone say if, if indeed we suffer with him, that we also may be glorified together. For I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed where? In us. Him. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope, because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption and the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with what? Perseverance. In other words, this divine fellowship and relationship allows us to be led by the Spirit. If not led by the Spirit, no relationship. Only in relationship is there an inheritance. Only in a relationship are you an heir. Service is not required to be a son. It is fellowship with the divine Father and family that is required. So everybody got it. Sons before servants. In Matthew 7, it says, therefore by their fruits you will what? You'll know them. In other words, you'll know. You'll know whether somebody's fellowshipping. Has a divine fellowship. You'll know. What? You'll know by their fruits. You know how many people, believers, so-called believers, don't even get up and pray? They don't even make connection. Thank you, Lord, for another day. Bless my socks off. See you later. You know what I need? Give it. Therefore, by their fruits, you'll know them. Why? If they're manifesting stinky fruits, you know that they don't have divine fellowship. Or they've lost it. Verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. How are you going to know the will of the Father without divine fellowship? You won't. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name, been to the Bible studies in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. In other words, you can tell them by their fruits they're practicing lawlessness. He says, I don't know you. See, because they believe that their service was sufficient enough for fellowship. But it isn't. Service has nothing to do with fellowship. Has everybody got that? Fellowship has everything to do with service. Why? Because we serve him because we have fellowship with him. We're not serving him to try to express that we have fellowship with him. We have fellowship with him to express service. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on a rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. It can only be established in fellowship. I'm saying divine fellowship. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Great was its fall. In other words, you're not going to fall into fear. You're not going to get into the flesh when things aren't going your way. You'll know that things that are not going your way is because it's training time. It's testing time. You're not going to run to the phone. You're going to run to the throne. Because you know that divine fellowship is the most important thing. And without divine fellowship, you won't get counsel, correction, and direction. You'll jump from one. That's why people church hop. They're Christian bunnies. They're called generic Christians. You know, people go to the pharmacy and get generic prescriptions. It ain't the real McCoy. God sets you in a place. You don't move until God sends you. And you'll get confirmation from the office. We want to clarify that. Hallelujah. Many want to serve without divine fellowship when God's not first. And if God's not first, the fear of the Lord has drifted away. And service becomes the excuse for lawlessness. And the inheritance is removed because no longer son or daughter. Covenant is broken and it's manifested. And it happens with many servants of the Lord. They started off in fellowship, and then service became their fellowship and not the Lord. You must begin in fellowship and end in fellowship. Psalm 50. We have to send the Easter Bunny evangelist after them. The linebacker that tackles them because they're out of order. Psalm 50, verse 16. So when you're out of divine fellowship, you know, even look what the Lord looked at them. He said, many will say that, Lord, Lord. And he says, man, when he calls somebody lawlessness, he means they're wicked. They're wicked. Why? Because they've fallen out of fellowship. Their fruits stink. The only thing they're concerned with is self. The only thing they're concerned with is money. The only thing they're concerned with is promotion of self. The only thing they're concerned with is everything associated with self. It's not kingdom business. It's self business now. And one of the things that begins to happen, and I've got to share this with you, without divine fellowship and maintaining of the fear of the Lord, authority is lost. Authority is not outside, it's inside. Authority is established inside. Power is established outside. Does everybody got it? Authority is established where? Inside. Isn't that where relationship is? Power is established where? Outside. Now, if you're not submitting to authority, how can you have any? Listen, God can use a donkey. Now, there are many people who think because God is using them that they're okay. Because they're rejecting the conviction of the Spirit. Their heart has become hardened. The only thing they want to do is serve and hope to get home. So they're trying to buy their way home instead of the price that Jesus paid they can't accept through relationship or fellowship. Psalm 50, verse 16. Where is authority? Within. Glory. And power is on the outside. Verse 16, but to the wicked, God says, what right have you to declare my statutes or take my covenant in your mouth, seeing you hate what? Instruction, and cast my words behind you. When you saw a thief, you consented with him and have been a partaker with adulterers. You give your mouth to evil and your tongue frames deceit. You sit and speak against your brother and slander your own mother's son. These things you have done, and I have kept silent. You thought that I was altogether like you. I will rebuke you and set them in order before your eyes. Now consider this, you who forget God, lest I tear you in pieces, and there be none to deliver. Whoever offers praise glorifies me, and to him who orders his conduct aright, I will show the salvation of God.
Yeah.
So when an individual falls out of divine fellowship, loses the fear of the Lord, they begin to touch unclean things. Because it's okay. Oh, God will just forgive me. Yes, but when you break covenant with God, you just lost everything in heaven that's been stored up for you. And you have to start over. If you truly repent, of course, repent means to turn away from, doesn't it? Doesn't mean to continue to do the same thing. It means to turn away from it. So in this, he calls an individual that's walked away from the Lord in fellowship wicked because they're refusing instruction. Now they've become rebellious. They refuse to fellowship with him or in the body. They take it as a nonchalant thing, not a command from the Lord. They lose that respect. Why? Because they lose the fear of the Lord. They lose honor, respect, and reverence to him. And you'll know them by their fruit. And we should know our own fruit. When we start making excuses not to fellowship, you know, you got to ask yourself, why don't I have the thirst and hunger for God's presence? Why am I not willing to go the extra mile to fight for the presence of God, but I'm willing to go the extra mile to work those extra hours to get a buck or get a drink or get the dope or search for the opposite sex? We've got to look at these things because we should be examining ourselves now because we're getting closer and closer and closer. Judgment is in the house of God right now. Now. Why? Because judgment must be in the house of God before it comes to the world. He will judge his people, and he's judged. That's why there's a shaking going on. You're going to find more and more individuals be exposed. Listen, expose yourself so God doesn't have to. Repent and turn from your ways and get right. Amen. Ephesians 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And verse 3. Let's speak it. Ephesians 1, 3. Everyone say blessed. Oh. Everyone say I'm blessed. And highly favored. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with what? Every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Holy and without blame. Having what? Predestined us to the adoption as what? Oh, that doesn't say servants, does it? It says sons. By Jesus Christ to who? Himself. According to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through the blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance.
Oh, yes.
Through what? Fellowship. Being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. Yes. And in you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance, until the redemption, the purchased possession, to the praise of his glory, blessed by fellowship. We are blessed by fellowship. Predestined. An inheritance through fellowship. Blessed with every spiritual blessing, seated in heavenly places. All of this is a part of inheritance as you maintain divine fellowship. And remove the idols that are between ourselves in the Lord. Matthew 3. Well, you came to hear the truth, didn't you? Praise God. So what does he require? Servants or sons and daughters? Matthew 3:13. Hallelujah. Says, then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him, and John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you are coming to me? But Jesus answered and said to him, permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, and enlightening upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved son. He did not say servant. And whom I am well pleased. Now look at the next verse. Then Jesus was led up by the what? Spirit. Into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Why? Because without divine fellowship, you will not be led by the Spirit. You'll be led by what you think, what you feel, and what you believe. And your belief system is incorrect anyways. Amen? So if your belief system is flawed, your perception is flawed. Again, where there's compromise, complacency, or laziness, that's infiltration, isn't it? The enemy is infiltrated. Hebrews 12. In verse 5, 12:5, is everybody there? Let's speak it. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as what? Sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons. For what son is there whom the father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. It's amazing when God corrects someone, people run. Furthermore, we have had many or human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chasten us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. So if you feel chastened by the Lord today, that's good. That's training. That's training. It's conviction. If you're receiving the conviction of the Lord today, he's saying, listen, I love you. Come on back and be my son. Come on back and be my daughter. I'm not looking for anything else from you but you. Amen? Galatians 4. Divine fellowship. And divine fellowship is not only when food is in front of you, oh Lord. Some people do their best prayers when there's food in front of them. They didn't pray in the morning, so they're catching up. Oh yes, dear Lord God, rub it up, dub. Thanks for the grub. I thank you, Lord. I mean, they pray. The food gets cold. But for some individuals, it's the only time they pray. There's nothing wrong with the food getting cold now. As long as you're led by the Spirit. That is not the only time you pray. So, yeah, I pray three times a day. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. No, man. That's not divine fellowship. That's fellowship, divine food, you know. That's food fellowship, man. Galatians 4 and verse 6. And it says, because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore you are no longer a slave, but a what? Son. In other words, isn't a slave kind of a servant? Yeah. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. But then indeed, when you did not know God, you served those which by nature are not gods. But now after you have known God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage? In other words, what happened? We were in fellowship. We were in relationship. Why have you gone in service and forgot me? In other words, the only time you ask of me is when you're in service. But yet you don't spend time with me. Amen? Has everybody got this? This is essential. People turn from son to servant without fellowship. And again, they lose the fear of the Lord. And service is above fellowship. Now listen. There's something I also want to share here, because divine fellowship brings revelation. All right? And revelation brings reality, which means the unseen realm. So, listen, there are people, anybody can grab the Bible and get illuminated. Oh, wow, cool. Yeah, I got that. But see, divine revelation is established by divine fellowship. And when there's revelation, a reality comes and brings vision. Has everybody got it? See, people can get illuminated by the word. Oh, wow, cool. But that's the limitation of it without divine fellowship. There's only illumination. There's not revelation. We should go from illumination to revelation. Amen? But without divine fellowship, illumination is its limit. Go to Daniel 10. Daniel chapter 10. In verse 10. Let's speak it together. Suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. Then he said to me, Do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to what? Understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. Wow. He had to do two things. He had to do what? Set his heart to understand and to humble himself. That's divine fellowship. So everybody got it. That's divine fellowship. Why? Because he went to him. And then he got an answer, didn't he? Amen? What was happening with Daniel? He was getting divine revelation of reality now. And the angel of the Lord was telling them things to come. Now go to Daniel 11 and verse 29. Daniel 11, 29. Now it says, and at the appointed time, he, representing the Antichrist army, shall return and go toward the south, but it shall not be like the former or the latter. For the ships from Cyprus shall come against him. Therefore he shall be grieved and return in rage against the holy covenant and do damage. So he shall return and show regard for those who forsake the holy covenant. And forces shall be mustered by him, and they shall defile the sanctuary fortress. Then they shall take away the daily sacrifices and place their abominations of desolations. And this is coming. Those who do wickedly against the covenant, he shall corrupt with flattery. But the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out what? Great exploits. And those of the people who understand shall instruct many. Yet for many days they shall fall by the sword and flame, by captivity and plundering. Now when they fall, they shall be aided with a little help, but many shall join with them by intrigue. And some of those of understanding shall fail to refine them, purify them, and make them white until the time of the end, because it is still for an appointed time. It says, then the king shall do according to his own will. He shall exalt and magnify himself above every god, shall speak blasphemies against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the wrath has been accomplished, for what has been determined shall be done. He shall regard neither the God of his fathers, nor the desire of woman, nor regard any god, for he shall exalt himself above them all. But in their place he shall honor a god of fortresses, and a god which his fathers did not know. He shall honor with gold and what? With what? Gold and silver. With precious stones and pleasant things. Thus he shall act against the strongest fortresses with a foreign god, which he shall acknowledge and advance its glory. And he shall cause them to rule over many and divide the land for gain. And we know that this is talking about Israel and the Antichrist. You know, you got to remember that the Antichrist spirit, which is here, is trying to move you away from divine fellowship. It promotes works. It promotes what? Works. Now, you and I must work out our own fellowship, and we're working out our own fellowship by fighting off the powers of darkness to maintain divine fellowship. Amen? But we are not justified by our works, are we? No. We are justified in fellowship, not by works. Amen? And those who know their God will do great exploits. And I'm going to close at John 10. Divine fellowship. Don't lose it. Don't think going to Bible study is divine fellowship in itself. Because there's people who go to Bible study and their fruits stink. Because the only thing that's happening is they're being illuminated. They're not getting revelation. We need more. We need to maintain divine fellowship because it's getting tougher out there. You know, the devil can out-quote you scripture in a minute, too. 10:7, John 10:7. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go out, go in and out and find pasture, not pastor. The thief does not come except to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But the hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf come in and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling or hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. In other words, the only thing he cares about is money. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own. As the Father, what? As the what? The Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. They will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No one takes it from me. I do what? No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I receive from my Father. Jesus always said, I don't do anything unless I see my Father do it first. Why? Because he maintained divine fellowship. It was the example for me and you. It's not how much you learn. Somebody got it. You can have a lot of knowledge, but no presence. And presence, knowledge without presence is religion. I'm going to say that again. Knowledge without presence is religion. People study the Word of God, and that's okay. That's good. But the Word of God is not the end. Amen? It's the beginning. In fact, the Bible says that all the things Jesus did couldn't be written down. Remember, the apostles didn't have a Bible. They had fellowship. They had divine fellowship in the Holy Spirit. And so you and I should too. Maintain divine fellowship. Fellowship in his presence, fellowship in his word, and fellowship in his body. It's essential, or you'll be deceived. Amen? Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. And Lord, any area where we have fallen short of divine fellowship, we repent and ask for your forgiveness. Restore to us our first love, you. You said in your word that they lost their first love. He said, get back to your first love and then get back to your works. So, Lord, we're coming back to our first love, that we could fulfill what you asked us to do, but always maintain divine fellowship with you, because the joy of the Lord is our strength, and in your presence is fullness of joy. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.